Blog Talk Radio.
Once again, it's on. It's your boy Fred the Godson, aka Big Bronx, aka Mr. So Crazy himself, representing that TBM, that block work, that takeover. And you're checking out E2K on the spot. Real talk, real life, with the sexy Emma, Miss BX. What up, baby?
Yeah, what's up, party people? E2K on the spot, real talk, real life, with your sexy host, Emma E2K, and co-hosting with me tonight will be Nene Ali. Nene, are you on?
Yes, I am. What's up, everybody? Peace and blessings.
Yeah, definitely. Nene had called me and said she had wanted to co-host the show with me. I thought, of course, because she's a poet, I wanted to do some type of, for first time on Lush Radio Online, some poetry open mic. And then she gave me the news about Gil Scott passing yesterday, and I really wasn't aware of that. So in honor of that, this show is a tribute to Gilbert Gil Scott, who was born April 1st, 1949, and has passed May 27, 2011. And I'm going to allow Nene Ali to give you more information for those who don't know who Gil Scott was. Go ahead, Nene.
Well, first of all, I would like to say that Gil Scott Heron was actually the father of spoken word. He was, he was a poet. He was a musician. He wrote. He was an author. He could fit in any genre with jazz, blues, R&B, because that was him. He actually paved the way for so many other poets to come into the spoken word genre. And he was just pretty much the father who gave people the blueprint, or you could say the structure, a foundation for them to become who they are. Because my favorite poet actually looked up to Gil Scott Heron. So you know that he has to be powerful.
That's peace, yeah. And I'm going to go actually play one of his pieces, which is called The Bottle. And, for some of the younger generation, maybe this goes a little way back, but I guess for mine, they'll be a little more familiar. So we're going to play some Gil Scott, The Bottle, and maybe you'll be more familiar with his work.
Uno, dos, uno, dos, tres, cuatro.
They ask me, kill me. Don't you think it's a crime?
bottom. Come on, hit the lick one time, stick.
And homage to, you know, the ones that have paved the way for us. As many, I don't know if for whoever just tuned in or was has been listening, as Mimi had explained when she was letting us know who Gil Scott was, he's actually, you know, one of our founding fathers in poetry. You know, although it sounds like music and some probably will, I don't know why, but will put it under rap or whatever because, you know, they hear music that rhymes with music automatically they call it rap, which is not, you know, there's a difference. But for those that don't know, he's definitely one of the founding fathers, so homage definitely has to be paid. We often forget to do that, you know, we often forget to do that. So we definitely have to know where it comes from, who brought it to light, and, you know, and who opened those doors and paved the way for us. Nini, you're with us?
Yes.
Yeah. So, right. You know, I of course, it's only fitting that before we start the open mic poetry, you know, the first one that's going to touch the mic on E2K on the spot on the poetry open mic session will be Nini Ali. So, Nini Ali, the stage is yours, mama.
I am younger than my tongue, but I am older than my teeth. I am one of the few spoken word artists who practice what she preached. My name is Mimi Ali, and even when I was 10, I was quick to pick up a pen and scribe a poem from beginning to end. People ask me questions like, how are you able to write the things that you see? I tell them, I am the thoughts that my pen bleeds. Some say, Mimi Ali, when you grow up, do you know what you want to be? I say, yup. When I grow up, I want to be American gangster. You know, like the kind you see on BET. But forget pushing drugs. I'm going to push my spoken word poetry. I'm going to go from ghetto to ghetto in every single city hood, pushing my spoken word product till I can get everyone hooked. Through my determination, I'm off to the suburbs so I can get these privileged kids addicted to my words. I have city officials saying that my words are priceless. I tell them it's because I'm the spoken word daughter of ISIS. I'm not going to stop pushing my spoken word until the whole world is down with me. so we could take the power from the world leaders and set the masses free. I might even smuggle some my spoken word inside penitentiaries. The biggest crime in America is not being able to read or think free. So when you see me, tell me what do you see? A kid or a small reflection of you? If adults really knew how much kids are people too, then maybe they would stop acting a fool. Because everything we learn it from you. Because behavior is taught and manners are grown. We look, listen, and mimic everything that you do. So stop scratching your head and asking what's wrong with our youth. The question you should be asking is what's wrong with you. Thank you.
Give it up, girls. Give it up. Give it up here now. Let the people know what you represent, what you do. Give them all your stuff, all your information. Plug yourself in.
My name is Nene Ali. I'm a 30-year-old poetic MC. As I just told you, I do spoken word, and I'm glad that Gil Scott Heron could have paved the way for me to do this now. I'm also an MC. I just signed to Universal Westlag Music Group. I'm a activist, a public speaker, and any and everything else in between that could help the community out and that could help our people out.
Awesome, awesome. Now, let me ask you something. You're only 13 years old. Most 13-year-olds are worrying about video games or, what's going on in the street. And you have this passion for helping. Do you know where it comes from?
I guess my passion of helping is I just don't like to see people struggle. And all my human suffering, so me being able to help somebody helps me out, too, as a person. So that's why I'm always willing to help and to be there for people if they need somebody there.
Do you know you're not the average 13-year-old? Someone has told you. Are you aware of this? You know that not all 13 are like you, right?
I know, but the thing is, there's a lot of 13-year-olds who have the potential of being like me. I guess.
Oh, beautiful.
I guess, you know, it's just some kids are stuck in the box of, I'm going to be a basketball player or I'm going to be the next Little Wayne, and they're stuck in that box and they walk around with the state of mind of feeling hopeless. So that's where I'm coming from, that everybody has the ability to be somebody. It's just if they take the initiative and take it upon themselves to go out and catch that dream and take it.
Now, what do you feel spoken word has done for you? You know, ever since you have the ability to be out there, you know, in front of an audience, sometimes there's two people, sometimes there's 200. What is it that what it brings to you to be able to do that?
Well, spoken word actually opened the doors for me to be more freely. And instead of say there's something on my mind, and instead of me going on a rage and going crazy, I just sit there and I write. And I write what's on my mind, and I write what's going on. It opened the door for me to express my feelings in a different way. And it just showed me another way of being who I am. And, like, spoken word has no borders. So you're able to write freely from your mind and from your perspective and where you're coming from. So that's what spoken word actually did to me, because, you know, if I wasn't able to write, I don't know where I would be. If I wasn't capable of picking up a pen and writing my feelings and writing how I feel as a person and what's going on in this world, I would be another kid who has no voice. And I don't want that. I want a voice in this world, because that's why I was put on here. I was put on earth to have a voice and voice my opinion.
Yeah, because you definitely do have a purpose here, Princess, in case you didn't know that. You definitely have a purpose here, and I'm so glad. I'm so glad for you. I'm happy. I'm proud.
just to know that, you know, you are going to carry on certain legacy because, you know, right now the world, the way it's going, it's kind of a little sad, you know, the way the youth is going all crazy, all out of place, you know. And we can't blame all the parents because there are some good, dedicated parents that try, you know, that are out there. Mm-hmm. But the influence of the street sometimes kind of overpowers them, and, you know, it's just a struggle. But I'm definitely grateful for those adults that have molded you, because I know it's your dad that's raising you, but I also know you've had other good influences around you. And I've always said it takes a village. You know, it definitely takes a village, from the grocer in the corner to the teacher, you know, at school. It definitely takes a village, and you're just a product of that. You're a product of the village as they're raising you. So I'm honored to have you co-hosting. I'm so happy.
Yes.
I'm excited.
Yes, it's such an honor. I'm glad. I'm so excited that I'm actually finally co-hosting with you. And, you know, I'm ready.
Yes, and I want to give you your voice. Oh, my God. Definitely a platform, because you have a voice. I just want to be able to serve as a, you know, as a media platform for you. And for those that don't know, Mimi Ali is a part of E2K Magazine as well. Pretty soon she'll be out there doing interviews. So when you see her coming, you know, pay homage and respect. Don't make me go out there and look for nobody. But, yeah. So I'm waiting for, okay, I have another caller. I was just about to start shouting all the poets. That was good. When I don't give a platform, nobody calls. But, meaning we have somebody else coming in. They also have a 347. Let's see who it is. 347-653. You're on with MAE2K and Mimi Ali.
Hi, how are you? This is Taina, Brooklyn poet from Facebook. From Brooklyn.
Yes, peace and blessings.
How are you? Likewise, Emma. How are you?
I'm beautiful, and I have, you know, co-hosting with me, Mimi Ali. I'm sure
Hi,
you know.
Hi, Mimi. Hi, lovely
Hi.
Mimi. Doing that
Hi,
work
how are
up
you?
There. I'm good.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Good. That's good to hear.
So what we're doing, you know, you know, I posted all over Facebook, but for those that are listening, you know, in other places, and sometimes I got some listeners that just want to listen. What we're doing is paying, of course, a tribute to Gil Scott. Are you familiar with Gil Scott as a poet?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I am familiar with
him. You say about him?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Is there anything you would like to say about him, being that, you know, he passed?
Yeah, I would like to say that to someone who, as prolific as he was, someone who was groundbreaking, someone who forged, like he was a pioneer and laid the blueprint and the foundation for other people that recognize and honor the power of words, writers, poets, playwrights, screenwriters. Words are extremely powerful, and he had a beautiful, beautiful gift that touched the world. Much respect to Gil Scott Heron. His style will forever be unmatched. He was extremely instrumental to a lot of poets, not just myself. And while it's a shame that his physical is gone, I believe more in metaphysics. You don't really leave. Your energy stays, and his energy is within words. So you can find Gil Scott Heron anytime you open a book, anytime you're discussing him right now, anytime you listen to his work. He lives on. It sounds cliche, but you know, he left his mark. He did what he had to do within the time span that God gives us, which is, you know, anywhere from 60 to 80 years, 100 years if you're lucky. But he was able to fulfill his life's purpose, and now he's moving on to his next. And he definitely fulfilled it. He definitely did what he had to do. So much respect, Gil Scott Heron.
Definitely, you know, and that's what I'm trying to get across, that even though he did pass on, his legacy still lives on, because he made that mark, and he made it where when he passed, there was something he left behind. So I definitely agree with you on that one.
Yeah, he left a beautiful, prolific body of work. I mean, just awesome, awesome work. Much props. Salutes.
Definitely, that's peace. Now, you know, in honor of him, you know, we're having a poet open mic, if you will, for the first time here on Lush Radio Online on E2K on the Spot. So if you want to recite a piece, it don't necessarily have to be a piece of his, you know, a piece of yours. You know, you got the floor, sis.
Oh, thank you. Okay, I guess I'll do one of my older pieces. When I just started writing poetry, well, actually, I've been writing since I was like 11, but I didn't really get into it until, I say, 18, 19 years old. So this piece, I was it's inspired by what I saw looking out of the 38 bus in Brooklyn on my way to school. This is entitled "To the Old Lady Looking Out the Window." This is to the old lady looking out the window above the bodega on DeKalb Ave, with your worn-out pillow on the windowsill under your elbows so they don't get tired. What do you see day after day? Do you see what I see from the window on the 38 bus? Do you see our people in constant battle? Do you see our daughters in constant pregnancy? Do you see our sons strung out? Do you see our people dying? Do you see what I see? Do your eyes glaze over the surface? Or do you delve deeper as I do, allowing myself to get upset? Do you care? Maybe you too have known pain. Do you know the pain that my grandmother feels, the pain of losing a son? You have that old, beaten-up, weathered look about you. Is it from growing through that storm or just from enduring life up until now? God has allowed you to live, to see your children grow and your grandchildren be born. You have experienced much pain, but are still alive, and I wonder, are you grateful? I realize by looking at you, old Queen Boricua, with your all-knowing Taino mind and your long Indian parted hair, your wrinkled skin says a lot. I see that it is better to have experienced much pain and be old than to have experienced much pain and die young.
Wow, that's great. Thank you. Yes, sir, you get some of that.
Thank you, Mama. Thank you.
That's Steve. You know, hang with us. You know, we're calling on all poets to call in.
Yeah, I've been listening to the show. Really good. It's really good so far.
Yeah, pay homage. You know, of course, we're paying homage to the one and only Gil Scott. And first time Lush Radio Online, E2K on the Spot, is doing an open poetry mic. So. Everybody call in. I'm going to give poets the chance. Everybody's always asking me, Alma, you don't have no poets. You don't do no poetry. You know, blah, blah, blah. You don't show no love. I'm giving y'all 2 hours. 2 hours. We got 2 hours.
She's making up for it, poets. Call in. She's making up for it.
347-826-7722 for those who are just listening through the web. You can call in. Or you can just tune in and listen, man, and just enjoy what's happening here. Got my co-host, Mimi Ali. And we're doing it, man. We're just doing it. We're paying homage because a lot of people forget to do that. We forget to pay homage and to the people that paved the way for us. You know, and then we have sometimes the nerve to be a little arrogant to say we started something. No, we don't start anything. We kind of just follow suit and kind of make things better, make changes, but someone else always, you know, before us had the idea and did it their way, and then we just take it and do it ours. But nevertheless, we always, always must pay homage. I got another call on the other line, ladies. Hold down 1 second for me. 646, you're on with MA2K, Nini Ali, and Taina.
How you doing, young ladies? Is it me? Am I the 646?
Yes, you are.
Okay, well, I just want to let it be known to you, young ladies, that this poet and you're really gonna. I'm about to really mess you up. Like, I never knew nothing about him until today, but I didn't know that he had a major impact on my wife. So, you know, anybody that has like a positive or major impact in anybody that surrounds me, whether it's my kids, my wife, or even my friends, because I have very close friends. I always try to keep, like, I guess the energy flowing. And I'm not good at poetry. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not a poet. You know, I'm not going to sit here on your show and proclaim to be one. But I do know how to indulge in prayer, right? So my mm-hmm. prayer might come off as poetry if I'm lucky. But at the end of the day, from what my wife was telling me, this guy has such an impact on her. So I felt it's only right for me to sit here in front of him and give him, especially now that he's gone, like that respect to let him know that he had impact. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. Go right ahead.
Okay. So our great creator, the great, you know what I'm saying, creator which stands behind sun. So our great grandmother which stands behind moon. To Mother Earth, Father Sky, and the four directions of the winds and all cloud beings. All lightning and thunder beings which stand behind mystic land and earth. To lion, tiger, panther, cheetah, mountain lion, lynx, bobcat, hawk, eagle, owl, elephant, gorilla, zebra, giraffe, rhino, buffalo, bear, and wolf. To the creepy crawlers, the four-legged, the two-legged, and all dark ones which we must learn to love and forgive, such as fear, deception, temptation, and evil. We must learn to love and forgive these things because as the Creator taught us, you know what I'm saying, our goal at the end of the day is to protect but not destroy, for there is a difference. For our hearts, our goal from light of sun, but our thoughts are clear from light of moon. And strength and courage must always remain like at its utmost high from blood shed by older brothers and sisters because it was not in vain. For at the end of the day, we understand sacrifice. Aho, amen. Alhamdulillah, or whatever, you know what I'm saying, creed and caution you carry. At the end of the day, we're all in harmonious love and we're all in humanity. God bless us all, everyone. Aho.
Definitely. Amen. That's peace. Thank you so much for that.
Okay.
Yeah, we're definitely blessed that. Nini, you have anything to say?
I just want to say thank you for having him in your prayers. And it's very, like, I want to say thank you just for coming on here and giving your prayers because somebody that touches you was impacted by his death. You came to the rescue and you showed love. So I want to say thank you very much. And, you know, just thanks for the support and always keep them in your prayers.
Yeah, I'll do that. But at the same time, you always got to remember that people such as yourself and the people that represent the show, they keep us on the path, you know? Because let me tell you something. Sometimes it's easy to go astray. Anybody that's stuck to me will tell you I've gone astray and I've been fortunate enough to have people around me such as yourselves to, like, grab me by my hair, pull me by my hair, kick me up my ass, and pull me back. But at the end of the day, you know what? You know, we never give up on anyone, anything, or any type of energy that we feel fuels our cause. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
At the end of the day, you know, my sister, I thank you for your kind words, and I thank you for your humbleness, and may God bless you. But, you know, but at the same time, you know, don't be so modest. Understand that the energy that you're putting into this whole situation fuels me too, okay? God bless you, sisters. Let me let you go on with your journey, and, you know, and thank you for the opportunity, you know, just to pay my respects. And God bless you all, right?
Thank you, and you don't have to leave. You can continue to listen to the show and keep vibing with our energy. I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to go back to my queens on the line. Hold on. So, Nini, your line is open. Taina, I got your line open as well. Do you have any comments to say about all the gentlemen that just finished speaking?
Yeah, I do. I didn't know if I could talk, but I was really feeling what he was saying. And then he was reiterating something that I find to be something that's redundant and very important that I always continue to say, is that we affect each other, whether we want to believe it or not. Every interaction you have with somebody, you have the opportunity to leave them with a negative or a positive impression. So Gil Scott obviously left many positive impressions. And this gentleman just said the importance of people in his life pulling him back from making negative choices. So that right there proves we affect each other. It's your responsibility to have a positive one. If you're about positivity, it's your responsibility to leave every interaction with every person on a positive note. Because you don't know how you could change somebody's life.
Yeah, just a kind word. I mean, and I've seen it. I've seen this. I've been a witness to this, that a kind word to someone at the right time can even save someone's life.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely.
Just a kind word or a smile. Just the vibe and that energy that you can give to someone, like, listen, everything's going to be all right, and you give it to them at that right moment when they mostly needed that. You don't know where their mind was at. You don't know where they were plotting or where they were headed at or what they could have done that would have been totally negative. But you just, by just doing that simple thing, because, you know, it's very simple. You know, you could have saved someone's life, changed someone's thought, you know. I mean, we don't have too much of a really 50-50 balance, as you know, with the positive and the negative. The negative, you know, outweighs. So we have a lot of work. We got to double up in all this positive energy to, you know, to try, and, you know, at least to tilt the scale a little bit. So we have a lot of work, a lot of responsibility, and I mean those that are walking the walk and, you know, that are living right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well said. Well said. I agree.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, I also, I mean, you know, of course, this show is dedicated and it continues to be dedicated to Jill Scott, but I also just want to bring in, you know, Oprah. I don't know if anybody seen her farewell show and stuff and all the jewels that she dropped and she left. You know, I know she's a mentor of mine, you know, and I keep saying it. We have to pay homage. You know, we have to pay homage to those that open the doors for us and allow us to come in and are able to do it for someone else,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it's a beautiful thing because you're right. We do affect each other. We feed off each other. You know, if I come at you and I'm like, yo, so whatever, you're going to respond the same way. As opposed to I'd be like, you know, peace queen and I come in tranquility, you feel that and you're going to respond to me the same way. And, you know, and we keep the energy going. And it's not an easy thing, let me tell you. This right walk is the hardest thing in the world.
And we live in New York. What? Come on,
no,
man.
Can I It's the hardest thing in the world when you're walking down the street and people just grilling you for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard when you got, yeah, exactly.
That and more.
Oh, no reason. You're like, now why are you checking me up and down? Like, you don't even know me. Like, why are you doing that?
Yeah. And worse.
Yeah, definitely not the easiest thing, man. It's not the easiest thing in the world, but we must not lose focus, you know, in our life's mission. You know, and I commend you, ladies, definitely, Nini and Tyin. I commend you, you know, for what you do because your surrounding and your circle, you know, and who the people that you touch will touch others and it will keep going and going and going, you know? And
mm-hmm.
and we didn't have to do have to support each other. We, Tyina, me and you have to support Nini. Nini's 13 years old, you know?
What?
You know, our young person.
Wait, what?
Nini, I think, is only 13 years old.
Oh, my goodness, I got to meet this queen. I got to meet this young queen. I had no idea. I had no idea. You better work.
Fire. Yes, she's on fire. This is what I'm saying. We have to, you know, grab hold of her and protect her and bring her out and support her and fill her up, you know, when all this other craziness comes about because we have to push her forward. She is our future.
Absolutely, and she's going on in the right direction.
Yes, 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 and you know, and she's living her mission, and she's definitely here for a purpose. And I wanna if I can help contribute in any way for her to flourish, she already knows she's got my support 100, 1,000%, and I'm advocating for her. Nini, I'm captain of your cheering squad.
Thank you.
Nice.
Thank you.
Nice. And I got a big mouth, so let's go.
Let's do it.
So I'm y'all my witness. I'm giving these poets a chance, and the poets are not calling in, or you know they want to hit me on the IM instead of calling me 347-826-7722. Make sure you follow me on the Twitter. On the Twitter, I'm Emma E2K. Also Lush Radio Online. Make sure you follow us for any other future shows. Poets, I'm calling out to y'all. So being that, okay, we got some time. I'm going to give you, Taina, I'm going to let you do another piece.
Okay.
And if we don't get another song, Nini, you can go right in because I know you can be doing this for days. So I'm going to I'm gonna give it to Taina, and then we'll go with you, Nini. Go ahead. Go ahead, ladies.
I wasn't ready.
I'm sorry.
No, it's all right.
You want me to go in? You want me to do something before you go?
Yeah, please do so. My computer froze and I can't access my...
All right, no problem. Let me see. Oh, my God, because I was looking for something too. We're going to have to throw it to Nini, who's more prepared probably than us. Nini, God. I'm still looking. Why am I looking?
All right, I got one. It's a short one. I found one.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, this one is called 5 Steps Forward, 2 Steps Back. Sitting here wondering, back to square one again. Obstacles plus drama help block positive karma. I try to stay focused and not give in to the hopeless that tries to resurface when I'm alone in my darkest. Continually in my mind state, it multiplies and helps complicate Lolita dreams and Tupac wishes, but determination and near misses give me energy to sustain the feeling of pain that overwhelms my mind and threatens to drain. Consistently I fight, turn my back on the strife, because I know that it's short and I only got one life. I got centuries of slavery to overcome mentally, uncover a system that perpetuates poverty, leave legacies of confidence throughout the vicinity, and open up eyes to visions of possibility. I'll be relentless in my mission, won't be happy with just wishing, as I'm steady knocking out pursuits and give help to those who's willing. It be the unending struggle as I try to stay hopeful and pray to the Almighty to show me a better tomorrow.
Peace. Oh, my God. I walked away from the clapping button. Hold on a second. Wait. I give you some love. All right. That's what happens when I start getting all comfortable and stuff.
Thank you.
I feel like I'm in my living room and I just have y'all ladies just here with you chilling. So, you know, I just call it. Sorry, the energy. We're just flowing with the energy. But, Nini, go ahead, because I'm just, you know, I got a lot of stuff. I'm just trying to look for something that's appropriate for the situation.
Okay. I ingest nouns, adjectives, and verbs. It makes me choke and regurgitate spoken word that forced the masses to search for clues on how to unlock their self-identity while in pursuit of the truth. For me, words are power, so I suppose that I'm powerful because spoken word is like an African drum. It opens up the lines of communication. And I suppose if you were able to read Talam AC's Struggle Soul Refinery, you could see how spoken word can such in our humanity. It seems as if mankind is really a kind of man whose principles belief. It is creating so much confusion and instability. I look, listen, and observe before I speak because the knowledge of myself is the knowledge that I seek. Poetry and spoken word is such a beautiful entity. Poetry and spoken word is such a necessity. Poetry and spoken word is such an odyssey. Poetry is what I write and spoken word is what I speak. And I suppose that the forces that promote detriment wouldn't allow spoken word to share the same stage at music awards because it would force us to reclaim our pride, dignity, and honesty. If they really wanted us to share the same stage with spoken word, guess what? They would just simply create a category and recognize artists that can express themselves fluently. Like Talam AC, Black Ice, Free Flow, Bridget Gray, Amanda Diva, even my sister Tranquility, or any other spoken word artist whose lyrical content promotes self-awareness and positivity. So help me pick sense from nonsense. Why hasn't Gil Scott Heron or the last poet got a near prop shit? Why brothers on the corners bragging, gun clapping other brothers with their pants sagging? Guess what? If you feel sagging backwards, then you really see how to be acting. It's not a mistake that keeping it real wraps you as an economic stimulus package. It's a no-brainer to market us like we're buffoons and savages, while ranking in billions and making our savage behavior socially adapted. So can someone please tell me, does bling bling really matter if you're in the same thing, doing a 3-9 to keeping it real? Doesn't it amaze everyone here that we're living in a recession, but yet the prisons across America seem to remain an economic boom? I choose to do spoken word because it never seems to fail. I choose to do spoken word because it doesn't promote being shot, killed, or going to jail. I choose to do spoken word because it doesn't tell me I have to drop it like it's hot for a soldier just to be a fly girl. So I hope everybody's still with me, because if you are, you just witnessed Mimi Ali's spoken word MC, and I actually did that spoken word piece because I put Gil Scott Heron into it, and I wanted them to hear what I was saying about he didn't get his props yet. And what I mean by that is that he got his props for being a spoken word artist, and he was known, but if you see now, it deterred from him being a spoken word artist and one of the best at this art. And to, no offense to any, I'm not trying to down any artists, the Lil Waynes or the Drakes talking about nonsense, but once upon a time, it was all about the positivity. But thank you.
That's peace, that's peace. Hold on, I got to give you some love too. Hold on. That's true, like, you know, like, everybody be like, oh, I like to hear the old school music, but if you really start listening to the old school music, it was really telling stories, you know?
Yeah.
There were poets telling stories and then, you know, telling stories to, and then they put music in the background just so people would stand to listen, you know, just to catch the audience, because it's sad that, you know, unless you have some music behind or you're doing some type of show up on the stage, people kind of get a little, you know, restless and we walk away or something. So if you want to catch their attention, you know, you have to either have some dancers or something going on to catch people's attention. You know, people's attention span is very short. So,
But, yeah,
so with that being said, then let me go on. I'm just, like, looking for stuff. I found a couple of stuff. Let me go in with a piece that's called The Woman. And it goes like this. And, of course, I'm not a spoken word artist because I can't remember stuff as much stuff as I be writing all day long. So I got to read it from the paper. But I am a poet, okay? Thank you. All right, I'll go down. My piece is called The Woman. That man over there said to me that me as a woman, I always need a man's shoulder to cry on and a house to clean and a man to provide for me. He said I needed him and couldn't live without him, and for me to stay quiet while he speaks because he is a macho, a man. But as a woman, I'm not always crying, not unless that man mistreats me. I will keep a house clean because that's how I was raised, but I can provide for myself and my children just as well or better than any man. I have done so for nearly centuries. I have given birth to that man that has told me that I needed him and to be silent because I couldn't live without him. Well, look around you. I have done it. For centuries, I've been standing on my own, acknowledging my strength as a woman, homemaker, and provider. And I will not be silent. You listen to me. You could beat me, rape me, and intimidate me like you have always done for centuries, but you will not silence me, because this woman is a strong, powerful woman with ambitions and goals who will not allow that man over there or that man anywhere to stop me. Me meaning all women strong. Peace. And let me give myself some clap. Hold on a second. I'm going to walk away with my clap button. Yeah, man, and the energy is crazy. I'm calling out all poets. I'm posting. I'm Twittering. I don't know. People just don't want to come out. Like I said, poets are constantly telling me that I don't, you know, shed no light or I don't give them no love. And I'm doing so. Yeah, my witnesses. So, you know, we may have to take a part two to this show. But nevertheless, I believe between us three of us, we can just keep going with our poetry. That, what y'all think about that, ladies?
That sounds good to me. I'm enjoying this.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that we could go to maybe just shut everything down and we just start just doing some poetry. This is going to be E2K on the spot poetry slam. Nene Ali is on, Saina is on, and, we all representing, different parts of the world. Right now I'm in Philadelphia. Saina represents Brooklyn, and we got Nene Ali representing the BX, correct?
Yes, the BX.
Okay, so who's next then? Let's go. Let's keep on with the cypher. Who's next?
I got a piece.
Do it.
Okay. This one is called The Martyr. He holds back like a man feeding breadcrumbs slowly to pigeons in the park, but you love him. His attention he gives out sparingly, doses of himself in the smallest of pieces. Like someone learning how to drive stick, the tempo of your relationship glides and jerks along with love and a little anger thrown in, just like an old blues song. You exist on snatches of conversation and the tiniest of memories to sustain you. Most times, he is not around, or even nice when he is, but you love him. He spoons out his version of love sporadically, keeping you waiting like a dog on his hind legs doing tricks for one treat. Your fractured emotional state is written all over your face as you put on your ice grill and try not to overwhelm him with the love you have never been allowed to use. Selling dreams by the pound, you allow yourself to believe them because you love him. Giving someone the benefit of the doubt is not hard to do because you ask yourself, what would Jesus do? And so over and over you sacrifice and rely on God to see you through. Remaining faithful to one who is not faithful back to you. You have accepted your role as a modern-day martyr, Santa Maria, or maybe Yemaya. Every day you wake and wash your face, then invisibly place your mantilla of mourning and grasp your rosary beads hidden in the form of a blunt or a bottle that when tilted just right and you squint your eyes tight, has the image of his face floating within. And you love him. You make excuses for his behavior, overly understanding that his mother just didn't love him enough, and so you must love him. Never mind that he forgot your birthday. You don't really celebrate it anyway. But them techniques he uses will only be bruises, not only on your ego, but inside deep your soul, where only select people should go, as you sit patiently loving him, learning how to go with the flow. I should tell you there is no need to sacrifice so much if you are not getting what you deserve or need. You smile and tell me, but I love him. You love him while he kept hitting. Stayed spitting out hate and non-love, and you thought all your work was the perfect antidote. Do you realize that this is not worth letting your soul die from constant hurt? Killing your looks, health, mind, and ambition, loving them harder, looking at stars and wishing, calling up psychic hotlines and wanting to do spells, anything to keep this love from going to hell. Reminding you of past hurts received from a father who deceived, you struggle to live past childhood injustices, never realizing the crippling it did. He takes you for granted. It's all over the place, blatant reality right up in your face. But you, again with the rosary, fixing your mantilla, because you know no matter what, one day he will treat you like Prince Charming. But for now, you can't force the issue. When you look in the mirror and see damaged tissue, black and blue, contusions and cuts, it is then you must realize that this is not love. Too much abuse, violence, humiliation, time to find yourself. Don't lose focus or concentration. Never love somebody more than you love yourself. This is the jewel to maintain your health. Would it be easier to compare him to a cannibal who instead of devouring his own, he fucks and kills his queens as he bones, sexing away all the respect he once had? He is not original, which is what it's so sad. There's many a clone out there, more than a few, who don't realize that they kill it, they do their dirt with their dangerous weapon, causing mad hurt, not only in the hearts of young women, but spreading the disease, the consequences of sinning. It is not worth letting yourself disappear to become a martyr. Be it mental or physical, don't settle for the typical of what you once thought it was. When you put yourself first, it is then you'll know love. So, mi mamá, mi hermana, mi padrinas, mis amigas, you have your own shoes to fill. Dile adiós a Santa María.
Yeah, man, let's keep keep it going. I like that tag. You are it, Nene. Are you on next? Let's grab this mic. I'm loving this cipher. We got to keep it going.
Bombs drop in Iraq. Education, we won't attack. Social programs suffer the worst cutbacks. I'm only 13 years old. I'm not supposed to react. I'm a seed planted in this world, but yet they seem not to nurture me. They refuse to water me, and the only sunlight I get is hell for me. But then their expectations is for me to grow like a tree. So check out my flow, a tree. The political race isn't running for me. Opportunity wasn't designed for me. The world today is in a state of emergency. We have BET and MTV trying to raise me. These networks are where parents are supposed to be. No wonder why there's such a rise in teen pregnancy, or why we parade our ignorance for the world to see. Sometimes I wish we were still in the 60s. We didn't have much, but we had unity. So press rewind if I haven't blown your mind. Bombs drop in Iraq. Education we won't attack. Social programs suffer the worst cutbacks. I'm only 13 years old. I'm not supposed to react.
Listen, wait, hold on. From the...
Go, Taina. No, I'm sorry. What's that saying? From the mouth of babes, right?
From the mouth of the baby, yes. Woo! Man, listen, man. Okay, here I go. I go on next. Here I go. This other piece is called That Unfortunate Man. I can see him standing there alone, his fingers grabbing tight hold of the gate that separates him from the other side of the city. I wonder what he is thinking. In his other hand, he carries a big bag with all his possessions. Although I sit there in my car staring at him from the highway, I can't see his face because he's deeply into thought. He leans on the gate with a more determined gaze, as in disbelief. He's a peculiar man. What I wouldn't give to know just for that moment what he was thinking of. I wonder what led him there, or the questions that cause his mind every day. It seems his road may have been hard and his friends few, if any. I can almost feel his pain in a strange sort of way. I continue to just look at this unfortunate man in this awkward posture. I don't know him, but he can be anyone. He can be my father, my brother, my friend. Tears fill my eyes, for it gives me pain that people should live this way. So I focus on the highway again. I continue to drive. But that man just stays imprinted in my mind. I wish I could go back and tell him that everything's going to be all right. But I can't, and I won't. And let me press my own button. Hold on a second. I just Peace, and I'm passing it to the next queen.
Okay, all right. I'm looking for a piece that I can't seem to find. I hope that this isn't the first piece that I've...
Why don't we pass it like that?
No, I can't find it, like, in my house. Like, that's scary. I hope this isn't, like, the first piece I've actually lost ever, because it's actually really dope. I performed it at the Museum of Natural History for the Latin American Arts Festival, along with La Bruja, and it was a homage, you know, a love letter to my sisters. But I can't find it right now, so it'll appear.
Of course.
So I have another one. I wanted to go on a positive note. I mean, I could do a love poem that I actually wrote for my cousin's wedding, or I could, you know, speak about something that's like...
Listen, go in. As a poet, we have to touch everything, so... You know, you go in on your creativeness.
All right. So I guess I'll do the love poem, because everybody needs love. And I think the more energy you give it, the more you'll receive it.
That's peace.
Um, Just give me 1 second. My computer's acting up, of course.
That's only the devil that don't want to let you share the positive news. But, you know, we're going to keep going, though, because we ain't buckling down. So, you know what I mean? if you got to tap one of us and we got to keep going till you get yourself together, and that's what we're doing. And that's it. We're going to continue. We're not going to stop. You know what I mean? We're not stopping. No, we're not.
Ain't no stopping us. Okay, so I found it.
Oh, you found it? There you go. Go ahead.
Yeah, I found it. So, again, this is a piece that I wrote for my cousin's wedding, and it's entitled, Like Husband for Bride. I've loved you for galaxies. Silently, I felt you cry out for me. Felt the cool wisp of your touch before even meeting formally. In ocean waves or as rivers run past, in the glow of moon's shadow, we exquisitely bask. We ignite like fireflies, feeding off each other's light. Love's lightning together on a hot summer night. To look in your eyes, such a beautiful sight. The perfect reflection of true love's first bite. The F flat to my D major, silver tips a crescent moon. Kaleidoscope persona, we embark on new zones. The strings to the ukulele that strums in my heart. On this day we vow till death do us part. And even when such a day shall arise, we'll fly together through Milky Way with God by our side. So excited to conjoin, to create this new life, together we weave our magic carpet ride. At last we uncork fruitions of past centuries unsung, engraved into my heart when I knew you were the one. Our laughter is a sonnet, like wind chimes on repeat. Blissfully we embark on our very own symphony.
That's definitely peace. And ladies, I know Nini, you was on next, on deck, but we actually got another caller, so let's see if these poets are finally starting to call in. So I'm going to the phone lines, but let's not forget where we left off. So when we come back, is Nini on deck next. So 770, you're on with Emma E2K, Nini Ali, and Taina, the poet. Peace.
What's going on, miss? How you doing?
Peace. Who's this and where you calling from?
This is Eric Moore calling from Atlanta, Georgia.
Hi, Eric. Welcome. Are you a poet?
Yeah, I'm like a spoken word artist.
Oh, fabulous. So before I give you the floor, I just want to let you know that we are acknowledging Gil Scott, and I just want to ask you, are you, as a poet, aware who Gil Scott was?
Well, he's one of the individuals who honestly got me doing what I'm doing. You know, him, the Watts Prophets, the Last Poets, Sonia Sanchez, Nikki Giovanni, you know, all those individuals helped me to be where I am today. And Gil Scott was basically one of the individuals that helped force the road for me to walk through. Not only me as a poet, but, like, you know, true MCs. You know, he was the first rapper. He's the first MC in my estimation right there. So big respect to the brother who's moved on. And, you know, much respect to him.
That's peace. So now, with you having said that, I will now give you the floor. Peace.
Right. I'm a blast master because I blast masters, but I ain't KRS-One. No diss to Chris, yo, this is just me feeling myself. And if you wish that I stop feeling myself, then listen close to my words so you can feel me. Take the time and read between the lines so you can get to know the real me. You see, my friends call me E or Mr. Moore. Some call me Wordsmith for Master Metaphor because I master metaphor for every 3, 2, 1 in the crowd. You see, I'm like Nat Turner with a ballpoint pen and a burner. I just take aim at your brain with my craft and then blast. I call some of you poets the hangover, because just like the movie, yo, I watch you perform on stage every night and laugh. Don't claim to be better than none. Yo, I just do what I do. Some in this game claim to be better than Sun, and I be like, yo, who? You? Competition is none, because I'm the best there is at what I do. And what I do better than any other poet on this planet is be me. No fancy names or group affiliations. Yo, I'm just plain old Eric M-O-O-R-E. Mary Moore's eldest son, to haters, public enemy number one. To those who respect this poetry thing, yo, I bring the heat when I speak like I'm performing at a Klan rally in front of David Duke and the rest of those pickets. As they throw the noose over the tree and cop back the cunt, you see, I'm the poetic spirit of the thousands of slaves who refuse to run. I am the ancient tribe of Israel, caught up from the rest of the world. I'm the reincarnation of Emmett Till, whistling at that little girl. Yo, some say that I was created from dirt and gave my woman a rib. I'm the ghost of Fred Hampton drinking a glass of Kool-Aid telling the FBI, yo, it is what it is. You see, I'm the reason the cage bird sings, the strange fruit hanger from the tree, the blood in the veins of all those men experimented on the Tuskegee. I am Muddy Waters' first song, Chuck Berry admitting to the world that he had a thing for white girls, Mega Evers laying face down in his driveway. I'm Jim Brown saying, fuck it, y'all can have him while looking at O.J. Simpson's dumbass sideways. Hey, yo. I am that little girl listening to Sonia Sanchez for the very first time, saying this is beautiful, when everything and everyone around her tells her that she is not, as she sits in front of a television watching commercials selling bleach creams and perm kits while playing with an anorexic doll named Barbie. I am that 10-year-old boy living in Eden Wall Projects, looking out his window, daydreaming, and listening to the radio as KRS-One tells MC Shan that the bridge is over, and then smiles because he's from the Bronx. Hey, yo. I am a blastmaster, because I blast masters, but I ain't KRS-One. No diss to Chris, yo, this is just me feeling myself. And if you wish that I stop feeling myself, then listen close to my words so you can feel me. Take the time and read between the lines so you can get to know the real me. Blastmaster. Rest in peace to the original Blastmaster, Gil Scott Heron. Peace, Sam.
Peace, peace. Hold on. Energy level is up 1,000. I'm bringing the ladies in. Diana, Nini, your phones are open. What do you have to say about Everest Peace?
That is dope. Oh, I loved it. I think beautiful. I think we all need to feel ourselves. Why? Because that's self-love. And if you perpetuate self-love, it's the ripple effect we were talking about before. If you love yourself, you can love others. We can heal the world if we start with our self-love.
True indeed, true indeed. Much respect, ladies. Thank you very much.
Eric, I want you to hang out with us. Let me go in. Nini Ali is about to do another piece. You know, her phone is dying, so we're going to catch on her last piece, I think, before she's got to go. Diane, are you hanging with me?
Yeah.
Okay, so Nini, go right in.
All right, I'm going to do this piece, and I'm going to have to hang up because the phone is in the red right now. And I don't want to make it seem like I hung up on you guys.
That's peace, Mama. Go ahead.
I can't see my brother because of a color. It's usually red and blue that has us killing one another. This modern-day form of tribalism is by design that keeps our people deaf, dumb, and blind. My brother, I love you, but the colors you flag makes it hard for me to see you. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I was listening to Marvin Gaye, and I have to say what's going on. In this day and age, we have to pick up the slack, no longer lack and call ourselves black. My brother, hear me, please. The colors you wear is like a disease that is rapidly affecting our communities, so we have red-blooded and blue crippling, while white is in the middle just sitting there giggling. As we devalue the quality of our lives, I don't want to see none one of my brothers laying on dry ice. Mercy, mercy me. How do we achieve peace and harmony? Stevie Wonder might be blind, but even he could see the need for more black love, respect, and unity. Malcolm X said America has a very serious problem, while KRS-One replied to self-destruction. The destruction of you, my brother, that is painful to our mother. I love, cherish, and respect you, my brother, but I can't see you because of a color.
Princess, love and blessings. You know, I appreciate you co-hosting with me for this first hour. You took me on the spot. You already know this is your second home. You know, feel free to stop in any given time. You already know. You got my personal number. So, Diana, Eric, I'm going to turn on your phones now, and you'll be able to, you know, say bye-bye to Nini Ali.
Nice piece, sis. Love hearing what you do.
Thank you. Love and blessings. Thank you for coming in and sharing your work. Thank you very much.
Young queen, I can't wait to see how your life unfolds. You are a leader. That is all.
Yes, thank you very much. So are you. Thank you.
And don't forget to support her on the Facebook. She's Mimi Ali, spoken word artist. Is that correct?
Poet. Mimi Ali, poet.
Poet. Spoken word poet. Just go to my page, Emma Everything to Know. I have all her information up on there. Whoever definitely wants, or YouTube her. Just YouTube her. She's serious. She's out there. She's definitely, a soldier of peace. So blessings, little princess, and thank you. It was an honor to have you.
Thank you. And also, if you guys are on Twitter, you can check me out, Nini Ali. Thank you very much.
Peace. Yeah, that's one of our jewels, man. Taina, you still with me, right?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, that's one of our jewels, man. I'm just so, she gives me, like, mad energy.
Yo, she's amazing. I can't believe she's 13 years old. I can't believe it.
Her resume, her body of work, she's only 13, her body of work is crazy. When I tell you, it's amazing. Like, she's done more stuff than people, like, double her age has. So.
And she's not just a performer, though. She's a producer, too.
Listen, she does it all. That's why I was telling you that we have to definitely, we have to support her, man. We have to support her and those, just like her at that young impressionable age. You know what I'm saying? Because it's so easy to be guided out there in the street doing all type of, craziness and madness. But okay, so we got Eric on now. So it's Taina, me and Eric, and we're going to continue the poetry cipher. But before we go back on again, and it was Nini's turn, and then it's my turn, I want to play something, and then we're going to go back to the poetry cipher and to more poets calling. So here goes.
Uno, dos, uno, dos, tres, cuatro. Turn to me.
Rest in peace to Jill Scott, and that was the bottle. Going into the phone lines, bringing Eric in and Taina, and we're going into, you know, the poetry open mic. Are you with me? Taina, are
yes.
you still there?
Yes, ma'am.
Eric, you there?
Yeah, I'm here for a little bit longer.
Okay, that's peace. Let me go into my piece. And then we'll do Taina and then Eric. And then, you know, we'll just keep the cipher like that until another poet steps in. So here I go. This piece is called Years of Tears. Last night I cried. I began thinking of my life and the world around me, and a tear fell from my eye. As I sat in my room and looked into the mirror, hold on 1 second. Sorry, live radio. Okay. That's the real miss of it, real talk. So here we go. Okay, go on. Years of tears. I go again. Last night I cried. I began thinking of my life and the world around me, and a tear fell from my eyes. As I sat in my room and looked into the mirror, I saw someone lonely, and I continued to cry. I acknowledged that I'm a Latin woman, and I cried. I thought about my younger days, and I cried. I reminisced on days spent with my true love, Tony Melendez, and I cried. I remembered my good friends that are here no longer, and I cried. I cried for the hungry. I cried for the mentally and physically abused. I cried for the homeless children, for the drug addicts and the drug dealers, for the handicapped, for those that have never experienced love and those that have loved for the very first time. I cried for justice and those going through trials and court dates. I cried for those incarcerated and those in death row, for my pen pals and their families, for the victims of racial violence and police brutality, for victims of drunk drivers. I cry for my father's affection. I cry for my mother's attention and respect, my son and future children, my brothers and sisters, my nephews and nieces, for my godsons and goddaughters, cousins, aunts, and uncles, my beloved grandmother, the love of my life, my neighbors and recent lover. I cry for those who truly love me. I cry for those I truly love. I cry for strangers I may never see again. I cry for those insane and those fighting not to be. I cry for the independent women and the faithful men. I cry for wasted talent and hopeless dreams. I cry for the world. Yet the world did not see me cry. No one knows that last night I cried. Last night when I cried, it wasn't my usual cry. This time there was pain in my heart. There was sadness in my face and a sense of emptiness in my soul. Usually when I cry, it's for myself. But last night, I cried for the world. I cried the cry of a newborn baby, then the cry of a child, followed by the cry of a teenager, and ending with the cry of an adult. Last night I cried for the world, years of tears. And let me give myself some. Hold on a second. I'm away from the clap button again. What's wrong with me? I got to go to my clap button. Hold on a second. Okay. I have a clap. Okay, peace, peace. So, next on the cypher?
Is
next one? Diana, that's you?
Yeah, is it? I don't know. Eric, you want
to
talk?
I just want to be respectful. I ain't want to cut in or anything like that. I ain't know what the order was, so I was just, he's just waiting.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So,
I found that piece.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm ready. I found that piece that I thought had escaped me, but I found it. So
okay.
This is a love letter. This is a love letter to my sisters, my Latina sisters specifically, but really we all sisters. So it's entitled From All That Ugly, A Love Letter to Latina Beauty. My dear sisters, daughters of the Amazon true, I see rainbow when I look at you, liquid amber and azure blue. Did you know as you rode in canoe towards Spaniard ships, they paint your hue? To read our history and eventual plight, I wonder as death came slow, did we stand together and fight? Perhaps tears mingled as we desperately cried, whispered prayers to heaven as we held each other tight. And I cannot imagine as I read the horrors in Priest's diary what really happened to you and to me. Account upon account of violating bloody atrocities, resulting in horror, anguish, and then mestizo babies. How afterwards I wondered did we fare, asking ourselves and each other, how could they dare? Deliberate stain upon yours, hers, and my soul. Childbirth and delivery, did we ever become again whole? The accounts are truly heinous, and to look into your eyes, how your beauty has hidden such sorrowful despise. Now, hair textured and full, hot chocolate-colored skin, dark-eyed beauty, the result of such sin. Body shout out to Africa, hair may salute to Spain, indigenous ancestry on our faces and in veins remain. Some may look Asian, others rock in full black, such stellar features resulting from a centuries-old attack. We roses still bloomed like desert flower under harsh sun, attempted to crush spirit, instead with God became one. Like fossil in amber, our roots remain encased in modern-day showcase like gilded picture frame. From all that ugly comes such beauty. Upon your sister's face, the definition of strength truly. Survival with grace, we are diamonds formed by pressure, and such a history is vapor to return again never. From all that ugly comes such beauty. From all that ugly comes such beauty. From all that ugly comes such beauty.
Next on deck is Eric. Eric, let me turn on your mic. Your mic is on. Go ahead.
Wow. Before I even go in, I want to say two things. Number one, I'm loving what I hear from both of you guys tonight. It's a great thing. And number two, let me apologize because I came on the show and I didn't ask the format, you know, whether or not, you know, you guys allow profanity or not. So if you did not allow profanity, I apologize, you know.
That's true. I mean, there is not no limit. I mean, everybody, you know, as a poet, I allow all creativeness. The only thing that, you know, we did have, my co-host was only 13 years old, and of course nobody knew that because she doesn't sound like it. But now that she's not co-hosting, she's not with us, y'all want to rock out however y'all want to rock out, you know, by all means.
Yeah, and I cursed in one of the previous poems too, so I tried.
I didn't want to offend anybody, that's why I asked.
It was all in your creativeness. It wasn't like y'all was constantly on a FFF word, you see what I'm saying? So
yeah,
it's still respected under that.
But Eric is sweet to apologize in advance. That's nice.
Not a problem.
Chivalry,
I thank you for
chivalry, chivalry hasn't died.
All right, that's a good look right there. That's definitely a good look. All right, let me get into my piece before it gets too late. All right, this is called Vampire. I used to run and hide in vaginas, as if I was a child in a man's body playing the game of hide and seek. Hiding from responsibility, but seeking redemption like Andy Dufresne, I maintained my innocence even though I lost it, because that's all I have left to hold on to. You see, Mama's gone, and Pop is gone. Like the wind that blew breath into my lungs, I hung my own mortality from the tree of life, like bigots that harvest a strange fruit after a valley. With me, myself, and I as my only allies, I lied to and in women as if my name was Bill Clinton. Yes, yes, it's true. She pulled on and took a long tote from my blunt, but I chose not to inhale her love. I refused to get high off her kindness and well wishes, always suspicious of her so-called good intentions, so I always failed to mention that I would only be here for a short time. I disappear like a repeat offender with multiple bench warrants, hiding out in the dark alleyways of my subconscious, like a vampire, until nightfall. And then I call on another victim, someone who fit just the right description, because like Lestat, I had to feed. And with my persistence and very little resistance from her, I get what I need. Fuck true love. This ain't true blood. I ain't Bill. You ain't Sucky, baby. All I want from you is the pussy and a place to hide from myself for the rest of my life, you see. I scare me. So much to the point that at times I dwell in my own darkness. I'm ashamed to walk in my light because I just might find that in my ugly heart, there's a beautiful mind. And at times I see past the mirage and realize that the way that I act is just camouflage to disguise my fear of being rejected. So I arm myself with 45s in the form of bedroom eyes, put on my bulletproof vest composed of heartache, smooth talk, and lies, and interact with the rest of the world, because right now I feel protected. You see, they say love is war. And no matter what the world says, I'm just Eric Moore. And they say hope is free. So why is it that whenever I stare at my reflection in the mirror, I don't see any hope for me? And then in the deepest part of my mind, I hear you call out to me, telling me to go to the light. You tell me that in order to be loved, I first have to love myself. You remind me that it's okay to fall, just as long as I remember why it is that I fell. You say that the only way you can truly live in heaven is when you first destroy your own personal hell. You let me know that it's half nothing to fear because I have you here. And in my heart, I hear the walls being destroyed outside its perimeter. And my soul no longer feels the cold, emptiness, doubt that I embraced throughout my life. For the first time, everything feels just right. For the very first time, I accept your love and embrace the light. You see, with you, a new chapter of my life has begun. And I am no longer afraid to face the day or walk in the sun. Peace, fam.
Yeah, Rick, that was definitely deep. That was definitely deep.
Wow.
Dinah, before I take it to you, give me one second. Let me go into the phone lines.
Oh,
646 on with Uma E2K and Taina and Eric.
Yes. What's good? It's your brother-in-law. What's happening?
Peace. Who's this?
What's up? It's Rocket. It's my birthday. Yes, sir.
What's going on?
Ricky. Hey, what's happening?
Yes,
I'm
here.
Chilling with... Yeah, I'm just chilling with the family, just chilling out. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm just, you know, in the middle of the show. Happy birthday.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah, I'm just chilling out with the fam, playing with the family and everything, and, you know, trying to chill out.
Yes, please enjoy. I'm sorry that I couldn't make it. Definitely.
No, I know you're very busy and you're doing your thing, and, you know, I'm proud of you, and just, you know, keep up the good work and, you know, keep representing.
Thank you, honey, and you too, I see what you're doing. Don't be acting like you ain't doing nothing
yeah.
important.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying. You know, when things will pop, then, you know, we'll all feel it. Yeah, God willing. Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you, honey. Enjoy. Happy birthday.
Thank you. You have a beautiful night.
You too, baby. Bye bye.
All right, mom. Bye.
Okay. I'm gonna go on now with Saina. Go ahead. You're on deck.
Well, first I just wanted to say to Eric that was I'm at a loss for words for how to describe it. Aside from being self-revelatory, is that a word? It was like healing. I could hear your healing, and yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. You went from a vampire to a chivalrous gentleman, and I'm glad that you're healed because you brought to mind a lot of people that I know that haven't healed themselves, don't even know what's going on with them. And, like, they're perpetuating the same, like, pain on other people. You really, yeah, man.
Yeah, I appreciate you, sis.
That was beautiful. Because I see that you went full circle. You went from a lot of pain, and now you're basking in the sun, as you said. And that's beautiful. So, salute.
And not only that, you even hear it in his voice when he began the piece, and it was like he took a deep breath when he ended, like, you know, full circle.
Yeah, you could feel his healing is there. So that piece actually brought to mind a similar piece that I wrote, and it's called To All the Boys Who Loved Me.
That's a flow.
I'm sorry I made the phrase nice guys finish last ring true, echoing long and hollow in your pre-misogynistic mind. You were all very sweet and sincere and possessing zero thug inside you, and it may have very well been I who turned you on to the dark side. To walk on the same side of the street of the one I can now spot a mile away, all chain swinging and arrogance dripping, scowls plastered over with neo smiles, inside scorching with the hatred for women. It's just that you were not that familiar to me. I gravitated to, in college, different versions of my father reincarnated. And dad was nice, but only when he wanted to be. And smart as a whip, but liked to carry one of those too, in the guise of razor-sharp words and well-worn knuckles. And when he got mad, it was known. Best believe it was known. You were too soft-spoken for one who knows all too well the feeling of a throat swelled over from screaming. You were too innocent to me, too naive, and I laughed at the way you looked at me in horror as I recounted in thorough detail my horror. So weak were you, I laughed and thought, how can you protect me? And so in my twisted arrogance, knowing that I could win the title and how to take a beating, in my confusion of knowing of what my mate should be, I passed over cookies and ice cream and laughter and the serene. Perhaps even you thought you were better than me, because, yeah, I met those two. Took notice of the slight curl of a disgusted lip, talking to yourself, thanking God for not being cursed with the kind of childhood I walked crookedly through. And maybe you told yourself, I could never take her home to my mother. Your white picket fence judgment, two-parent home beef stroganoff snobbery, judging me for parents I never could have, would have selected myself. So, yeah, the dark ones, they understood. They knew, saying, oh, word, shorty, you too? Hyena laughing together through hazy weed smoke at the unspeakable. Shiny happy was never my color. Recanting the funny and gory scenes that played out nightly in household living rooms. Horror TV, horror real to me. I left you June Cleaver raised asses to find Queens raised Boricua Pollyannas, the soft-spoken ones with the delicate hands possessing zero calluses from washing dishes while standing on a chair in my single-digit years. I chose the Raheem, rocked with the Shadiks on Brooklyn Street, the boys who had seen too much too, and maybe they also hugged the block. Instead, I laid out a welcome mat for cold metal chains and hollow laughter, for colorless eyes and a grim character. Cooked up big soupy stews of hidden sorrow, a second chance to correct the past. In the reflection of mirrors as you walked fast, I saw the bloody footprints of your own tortured past.
I constructing already crumbling foundations, never occurring in mind conversations that pain was never good mortar. Sorrow could never be brick. Trauma could never, ever become pillow. Pain begets pain, and as such, has always set off on its own mission. With a splintered walk and steel determination, it perpetuates the craft within its host, with whom there lies no need for introduction. It ain't my job to fix broken people anymore. And maybe, instead, I'll paint the white picket fence purple.
I love that you picked the color purple. Let me bring Eric in. Eric?
Wow. Yeah, off the bat, I just love the entire piece. I mean, there was not one particular part of that poem that I wasn't feeling from the very beginning. You know, you heard, like, the sincerity. You heard, like, you know, the anguish that you was going through. And then, you know, it's like, it's what I love about poets, and it's not all poets that I'm feeling, because not everybody has the desire or the ability to tell the truth about themselves. What I heard from that piece was nothing but truth. And that was a beautiful thing, sis. I love that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
You get a couple of finger snaps. Hold on, wait. That's
That's the first, actually, that was hard for me to, not to write, but hard for me to share for obvious reasons. And that's the first time I ever shared it on a, you know, platform aside from Facebook, whoever might have read it. But you, Eric, you inspired me, and this goes back to the beginning of the conversation before Eric joined, where we affect each other, we inspire each other, we give each other energy, positive energy, or negative if we so choose, but then there's a lot of karma with that. So it goes back to what I was saying, we affect each other in this planet, whether we know it or not. We have to know that. And so,
like,
if Eric appreciated that piece, it's only because I appreciated it.
Wow.
That's peace. And, you know, and that's the lovely thing about poetry, about poets. Just like Eric mentioned, it's not everyone, but when you do wear your heart in your sleeve and you take that pen and you write that down, people can hear it, people can feel it, you know, and that's, you know, the beauty right there when you write something and it's actually talking to somebody and you did not even have that person in mind, you know what I mean? So that's how deep is it going. So I'm on deck, and I'm going to do a piece that actually I wrote after I had seen this program about two gentlemen that got incarcerated and were sent to death row. They were falsely accused of something, but nevertheless, one of the gentlemen was put, you know, to death. So, and after I seen that, I know just my emotions flowed, and this is what I wrote about it, and it's called Death Row. Walking my last steps of life with just the Bible to come for me, my hands and feet shackled like a dangerous animal being transported to a different cage. My mind is free, so I'm not afraid. I pass the cells of my fellow inmates that will join me in the afterlife one day. I see pity and fear in their eyes. A tear falls from the priest that walks alongside me. I will have peace, so I'm not afraid. I'm not angry at my peers. To do so, I will have to be angry at myself. I've done wrong. I'm a condemned man. This is the law of the land. The Lord forgives me, so I'm not afraid. I think of my family and friends who I leave behind. I get a lump in my throat, take a deep breath, and remember, God has chosen me. I'm going to a better place, so I'm not afraid. For those I hurt, please forgive me. Those who are lost, Lord bless them. Pray for those scared souls. I'm already on my way home, so I'm not afraid. My mind is free. I will have peace. The Lord forgives me. I'm going to a better place, so I'm not afraid. And again, I'm away from the clap button.
She's wilding.
Yeah.
But this to myself, hold on.
Once again, it's on. It's your boy Fred the Godson, a.k.a. Big Bronx, a.k.a. Mr. So Crazy himself, representing that TBM, that block work, that takeover. and you're checking out E2K on the spot. Real talk, real life with the sexy Emma, Miss BX. What up, baby?
So I'll take that over a clap any day.
That's funny.
So next on deck, I believe who goes? Saina again?
Eric.
Eric goes? Okay.
Oh, yeah, I'm showing the brother the fire. Nah. I'll be here for a little while. I ain't got to bounce until, like, at least 10, so I guess I can stay for the entire show.
Oh, yeah, we all bounce until 10, so we only here till 10.
All right.
Yeah, we're only here till 10, so go ahead, man. You know, we're just sharing some dudes and vibing off each other. The energy is crazy. The energy has been up 1,000 since we started the show. You know, the show is in honor of Gil Scott. Let's not lose that focus. We definitely do an honor of him. This is the first time Lush Radio Online, E2K on the Spot show, is opening up a platform for the poets, and we're doing open mic. You know, we're doing open mic for all poets in honor, of course, of Gil Scott. So call in 347-826-7722. Make sure you follow us on the Twitter, which is Lush Radio Online. Follow me, Emma E2K. Or just Google me. I'm Googleable in Spanish. Soy Googleable. Okay. No, I already said mine.
Oh, my God. Googleame.
Googleame.
Wow.
Okay. Sorry, Eric. You go.
It's all good. All right. Yo, this is called Homemade Bombs. He is not a terrorist, but he has viewed terrorism his entire life. He is not an extremist, but extreme measures have been taken upon him and his people for generations and generations. He is the great-great-grandson of a slave. He is the great-grandson of a man who gave his life to fight against the Klan. He is the son of parents who refuse to accept things for what they are. He is the proud father of a son and daughter who shall be the future. And because of this, he became one of the unseen leaders of a revolution. Make no mistake, he does not consider himself a revolutionary, but he is willing to die for his cause. And even though they tell him this way is not the solution, he's willing to try without pause. Try just because someone has to. He takes in all the ugliness his war has to offer and stores it in his mind, waiting for just the right time to expose his grand design to the masses, waiting for the proof to expose the truth to those wearing blood-stained colored glasses. He studies the past because he feels history is a great teacher for those willing to learn, and he has no worries or concerns because his ancestors reach out to him in his dreams with screams of, "Young man, wake up. It's now your turn." With an uneasy calm, he grabs a pad and pen and formats the blueprint for his homemade bombs. He recalls the life and times of those who came before him, those who lived and died for what they believed in, those who were left by the wayside, battered, bruised, and bleeding, pleading to those individuals not strong enough to fight, pleading, please, please remember my face. Please remember what happened here today. Please remember what took place. As he pinpoints his targets, he remembers the likes of Crispus Attucks, Douglas, Tuggerman, and Truth, and they give him strength. Mega Evers, Shabazz, King, and every inner-city youth, and they give him strength. He completes his blueprint and memorizes his plan, repeats it over and over again until he knows it like he knows the back of his hand, until he knows it like he knows the pain and suffering of each and every black man unjustly tried for a crime they didn't commit, unrightly forced into slavery for the sole purpose of profit. He'd rather be called the prophet of race than to be called the Uncle Tom. And this is why he creates homemade bombs. Because he was told that words have the power to destroy misconceptions. He was told that the truth has the power to break down and smash false perceptions. That the pen is mightier than sword, but it's always safe to carry a loaded 4-5. That those brave men who spoke the truth and died meant more to the world than those cowards who stayed quiet to survive. You see, this is why he creates homemade bombs. For those who can't take the bullshit anymore. For those who need an outlet to vent on the policies of politics, poverty, and war. And like I said before, no, he's not a terrorist. But he's viewed terrorism his entire life. and he is not an extremist, but extreme measures have been taken against him and his people for generations and generations. No. No, he is not a terrorist, but his words excite feelings that range from panic to calm. He is a man that needs to be heard. He is a spoken word artist, and this is why he creates homemade bombs. Peace, fam.
I wish I had one of those bomb sounds. You need like a bomb sound for that. Bomb. All right, hold on. Oh, I'm sorry. Diane, I don't have your line open. I don't know if you were talking. Okay, now it's on. Your mic is on.
No, I was just laughing at what you just said.
Oh, my bomb. Man.
Yeah, the bomb. The bomb sound. Hilarious.
Yeah, that was deep. That actually took me somewhere else. I was, you know, it took me somewhere else. I mean, I was going, then I got it. I was like, ooh, that was nice. That did like a mental massage on my brain right there.
Thank you very much.
Good stuff, man.
So, Taina, you already know you're on deck.
All right. I'm going to do a piece entitled The Formula. If you want to see entire societies of people brown disintegrate and go down, 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 go way back and attack their culture and sense of being. Commit atrocities in front of eyes seen. Traumatize parents' minds because horrible memories transcend oceans of time. Ensuing generations become infected with volumes of depression and self-hatred. Keep telling them whatever they're not. Erase their true language till it's forgot. Brainwash the children to call themselves Spaniards. Attack their country and economy standards. Rewrite their history in all of their textbooks. Then introduce drugs and watch them get hooked. Keep them poor and desperate till morality's out the window. Now bring in the guns and watch bullets blow. Keep them dependent upon false vices. Keep it hidden to them what a true life is. Educational system remains hopeless. Wrong elements around them, it's easy to lose focus. Flash forward to the present and look at these presidents who justify actions with a false sense of heaven sent. It's the 80s now, time to administer AIDS to annihilate from within. As depression keeps knocking, we drugged up thinking on what could have been. Vices on top of vices, we twist it up in the clutches. They sit back, laugh at us because we fall in love and bury our crutches. The systemic I me, the systemic I chew. All tangled up, we stumble, try to pursue some inkling, some form, some semblance of a life. We survive but barely exist and very rarely do we fight. Complacency is a devil. It is our worst enemy. As we sit in a fog, smoking and drinking, it becomes our reality. We unconsciously stay hovering, swallowed up in mental slavery, wavering between depression and ignorance, never being free. And as proud as we are and walk around speaking our mother tongue, Boricua, Inagua, Barbacoa, y Huracán, we don't even acknowledge that to which we've succumbed. And all I ever hear from the other side is that it's time to stop our crying. What's over is said and done. They are blind to we, steady beating our same sad drum. And I will throw away my tissues gladly, long as I get credit for maintaining a healthy sanity. Urban idiosyncrasies are really blindness of self and insecurity. The clutches of poverty make it difficult to escape insanity, and numbness of the mind perpetuates twisted legacies. Only by stepping out and stepping back in can you really see the cycle in which we've been. But now, our minds are spiraling into control. Got our sights set focused on mountainous goals. Keep running this marathon till we can't no more, because our destiny knows nothing of taking things slow. Green may mean stop and red may mean go, and it's all for the taking, long as we do what we know. We flowers of the ghetto who share the same vicinity are never content to just letting things be. Warriors grow weak
But I got to speak on this twisted society and address the youth on this so-called democracy. As we strive for equality while yearning to breathe free, no complacency, we act as mirrors to the blind, help them see. And when we rise, the spirits of 10,000 Taínos, Albizu Campos, we've kept alive inside, fuel our mission to survive and thrive and finally claim the Boricua right to shine. Ooh, can I tell you my hands just stood up?
Man, sis, you just made me feel like I was speaking to my wife. Real talk. Real talk.
I put my face is up in the air, I'm pumping my face, my head is standing up, like, Thank you.
Yeah, that was a beautiful face right there.
Yeah, we're going to hold on to the side for a minute. Let me go to the phone lines. I got 516 is coming in, and let's see, you know, if there's another poet. 516, you're on with Emma E2K.
What's up, girl? How you doing?
Peace. Who's this?
This is Rodney.
Oh, man, you already know we got the ill cipher happening. The energy is crazy. Nikali earlier was co-hosting. She's no longer
okay.
But we do have Taina the poet. And Eric, and we're going in. We're not taking
no
prisoners.
Was that Taina the poet, the last one I was just hearing?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, she's very good. I spoke with her a couple of times, you know, because we were going to host a benefit for Tupac in New York City, but it didn't go through well, you know, it didn't go well, but she's real cool, she's a real hot poet, I give her a lot of credit, she's doing a lot for the Latin community. And, I mean, she really speaks her heart out, you know.
Yeah.
I wish I tuned in earlier.
Yeah, no, definitely. We've been rocking. She definitely could hear you, Taina, if you want to address that.
Yeah, thank you so much. Who is this again? I missed your name.
I go by Green Eyes, Taina. We spoke on the phone once.
Okay, all right. How you doing, Victor? Green Eyes?
What's going on? NYC? NYC?
Everything is good. Thank you so much for the words. I'm humbled. Thank you so much.
Oh, no. You know, I always give credit where credit is due, and those were some powerful, powerful words. And as I said to Emma, you know, I wish I was tuned in earlier. You know, I give myself a slap on the hand for that one. You know, I definitely felt the vibe. Believe you me, I had a big grin on my face while driving. You know, that was what's up. I wish I would have heard the other poets as well. You know,
actually, Ronnie, you know that I put the link on the show on my page.
Oh yeah,
so
you always do. That's right. Yes.
You
absolutely.
Yes, you will be able to hear the show in its entirety, and you'll be able to, you know, enjoy that. I have another call, Ronnie. Just stay with me.
Because
now everybody's on fire, and we got, like, a couple of last minutes of the show, and I want everybody to get this in, so hold on 1 second. 646-772, you're on with Emma E2K, Taina, Eric, and Ronnie.
What's up, E? You know what this is. Infinite the Polar, baby.
Man, I thought you wasn't calling, boy. I was already going to send the dogs out for you.
Nah. You know I'm not going to do that to you. You're number one for me.
That's what's up. So shout out, everybody. Welcome, Infinite the Poet. And without further ado, because, you know, 9 minutes to the show, so go in. That's all I'm going to say. Go in.
All right. I'm going to recite your favorite one, all right? It's called Trent. Kids living lavish with the drug blocks we established, live off rocks and low fire for Cubans with Lazarus pieces.
chrome rims and low-profile tires to handle these sports car screeches, leather gloves for the stick-ups and the stick shift from slipping. We all had water on the neck dripping, Rolexes saggily ticking, puffing on the piff of sour, all-color ice on the wrist we called it piragua. Mugshots, fingerprints, football numbers for being infiltrated by undercovers, hand-to-hand transactions being recorded and captioned, secret indictments got half of the block missing in action, leaving gaps for poor people to fall into the gap, thinking since they gone that they next up to bat. Once you see the money, you can't leave it alone. Some will strip flesh from bone to earn money for a home. Some will sell that deadly mix brewed by ghetto chemists, searched by fiends looking for that 10-minute fix, catching cases, praying those 220 charges don't stick. Some think they reign supreme until they are arraigned the Supreme Court with their cohorts for this street light sport. Life behind bars is nothing we sought, but was a probability we hope never to face. Capital murder, killing for money, the ultimate case. Central Booking is like a ghetto museum. The ghetto is like one big mausoleum. Most people that lived there died there before finding a way out. If we do, most get caught up in the turbulence of people that was living fast in our past. Thinking there's nothing else, we followed the same path. Guys from across the street from each other compete for blocks that we will never own. Some try to rise in the ranks of street hierarchy. We live in anarchy, trying to be the ones with the most clientele, the ones who name rang bells. We became the ones that filled jails, the ones that interior designed cells for sales. Because we couldn't post bail, our dreams of being rich failed. Stuck between a rock and a hard place after incarceration and being tagged as felons, our search for legal dividends come to dead ends because of past situations of illegal narcotics selling. No one wanted us in their dwelling, so we continued our journey that most likely ends in gurneys, blood transfusions, intravenous feeding, electrical chest presses if the heart stops beating. Porta potties strapped to people's bodies so they can urinate from a hole in their abdomen. This tragically keeps on happening, chasing the high of the street-like passion, and after the guns start blasting. Nickel and diamond and trepidants enterprising, advertising their good up to no good, destroyed our hood's ability to rise over our label to projects. Insufficient guidance led to blindness. Insufficient guidance led to violence. Misconstrued visions, a prelude of bad decisions, a domino effect that left us in prison. Made by most in the ghetto, we were in prison. Destined to fail, we strive for success. Not wanting to live average, we ran with the same ideas dead men left. Thinking we could do it better because we was much more clever, but we got the same outcome. Jail, coroners, another mom losing her son. My friends' bodies fill cemeteries like confetti after a celebration. We wasn't celebrating. We was looking for emancipation from the poor life classification. Hustle for personification with less courtroom sessions and more funeral processions. Most of our plans ended with flower arrangements for lost brothers' bereavement. I've been internally crying, even though on my exterior you see me smiling, just trying to hide the terror inside me and stay law-abiding. My action from the past haunt me now with hell's aftermath. I feel solo in this world that's so cold, like my homies felt with no soul, so cold. Rigor mortis for being hard-body. Almost lost everybody for living life like one big party. M.
Yeah, so that was Infinite the Poet. You know, he just kind of barely made it through the door. We're about to close, but you made it. I definitely appreciate your call. Let me open the lines. I'm going to start with Taina one at a time so we don't talk over each other. So, Taina, you got the floor if you want to address Infinite the Poet's piece.
Oh, I'm speechless. The last line is like echoing.
Thank you, bitch.
In my mind and around the freaking world, bro. What up? Much respect.
That's a true story, you know. I'm trying to let the world know who goes when they ride that train of destruction. You know how it goes.
I was about to say, it sounded like a diary piece. What up?
Yeah, thank you.
I'm reading from the diary. Beautiful.
Thank
I'm opening the lines for Eric. Eric, if you just Infinite the Poet.
Oh, yo, dude, this put me back to get more real talk. This put me back to get more. Much better for you with that.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Yo, that's nothing but realness, yo. Real recognition.
I try hard to reach, you know, reach the demographic from the ghetto where I grew up, you know. so they don't wind up having to go through what I went through to learn what I know now, you know?
Real talk. Yeah, I understand.
I'm going to open. I got three more minutes. I'm going to open real quickly for Ronnie. Ronnie, say your words to Infant the Poet, and then I'm going to go with my closing.
All right. Yeah, this is Rodney, a.k.a. Green Eyes Man. I got to say something just like Diana said. You know, your words are still echoing, just as hers are still echoing in my mind. You know, I'm not a young buck, and I've been around the block. And let me tell you something, man. When you started talking about secret indictments and so on and so forth, and our people, that's exactly what's going on, brother. I'm kind of speechless. I give you a lot of credit. Keep doing what you're doing, my brother. Diana, I know you're hearing me. Keep doing what you're doing, sister. You know, this is our community, and you people are just like lifting your words up and just going right into the hearts of the community. That's what we need.
Much
love,
much respect. Much love.
Thank
and
you
respect.
Very much.
Yeah, and a
thank
lot of encouragement. So, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ronnie. That's peace. I'm going to put Ronnie on hold. And we got two more minutes to the show. So if I can't let you go in another piece, because I know it's going to run you more than 2 minutes, I'm probably going to have to do a second part, like I said, Taina. I'm probably going to do a second part of the open mic. You know what? And being that the vibe has been great, let's postpone it for next Saturday. Next Saturday, everybody come on from 8 to 10. Talk to your fellow poets, friends, and bring them on. And let's be able to have more time to be able to share more pieces. Eric, Taina, Infinite, I thank all of y'all for coming in. What Taina has said earlier on the show is that we do inspire each other. You know, and that's the beautiful thing about this. We inspire each other, and we must understand that when we bring out certain words, you know, it's not just for us. You know, whoever's listening, it's a healing process for them as well. So don't ever think that, or sometimes we think we write something and this is just for me, to make me feel good. But you don't know how many people around the world you actually impact, you know, with your words. Again, peace and blessings to everyone here online. Your walk be a peace one. You know, live love. See you next Saturday. Let's continue. You know, great energy. Have a great Memorial Weekend, everybody.
Thank you. I'll make sure I call in earlier next time, baby. I'm sorry.
It's okay, but I'm glad you called in, because even late, you still, you know, shared what you had to share with the world, and we received it. We received it the way you gave it. So, you know, that's peace. You know, that's all we could do. Peace and blessings, everyone. Have a great and safe Memorial Weekend. E2K on the Spot, Real Talk, Real Life with your sexy host, Emma E2Kizzle. And I'm out. Peace, y'all.
Bye.